Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Always look forward to this time by way of Let's Face the Issues, that we can have dialogue and discussion on issues that's facing our nation and each and every individual, conservative patriots and believers. We need to realize today, as perhaps never before in the history of our great nation, that we are, as conservatives and patriots and as Christians, we're being pushed into the corner. We're being silenced. And most of that's as a result of what I call the big lie. The big lie. We have been lied to and deceived on multitudes of fronts in the past year in particular. And the major portion of that big lie was to, in order for the coup to be carried out, to put Donald J. Trump, president, out of office, and to bring in the Manchurian candidate, the Trojan horse, Joe Biden. That's been accomplished, and so we find a lot of things being reversed today. You may not have recognized it or noticed it immediately. We'll talk about that on today's broadcast. But we've had the big lie for the past year, and we'll talk about those lies, the three or four major ones. Then we'll talk about the change and the total opposite direction that we're finding today, and the changing about and reversing themselves on the lies that have been told. But the lies brought about the hysteria, the fear, the submission, surrender of our Bill of Rights to the dogmatic leadership of those in authority in the governmental agencies, the dictatorial approach to bring about tyranny among the people. Fright and hysteria has caused the most of Americans, in fact, some, I believe the latest number was 95% of Americans are now wearing masks, and that shows how easy it is for people to become sheeple and just bow and bend at the demand of government. But as we face the issues, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is taking truth, looking at truth, obeying truth, and recognizing truth. It was Jesus that said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32 in the Scripture, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said, "I am truth." Further, he acknowledges the truth book. He says, "Thy word is truth," in John 17, 17, speaking of the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the truth book. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I commend it to you. I recommend it each day. Stay in the book. Learn the book. Know the book. Study the Word of God. And allow God's Word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, as the Bible says it ought to be. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, and I do occasionally, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you on the issues that we'll be talking about today. Three or four major lies we've been told, and we need to recognize the truth. And the Scripture says, as Jesus told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It was the secularist George Orwell, in his book 1984, which has come to full fruition today, what he had written in that dystopian fiction novel. He says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be so valid today. we have those that hate the truth and have disdain for the truth and reject the truth of the Word of God. And thus they reject any of us conservatives, patriots, and Christians that will stand for the truth. This is the reason I stand on a statement by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's what I commend to each of you today, is to recognize the truth. Recognize the truth. It's a difficult thing to do sometimes, but in the context of where we are today in society, it is a proven thing that most people do not recognize truth from error. Therefore, when a lie is told, it is fully embraced and surrendered to, and submission comes about. And as a result of the submission, the destruction of our Bill of Rights. This is the reason it is so vital for us to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, in Colossians 2, and in verse 8, it says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the rudiments of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We need to be very, very careful and not place our faith and trust and confidence in mankind, as is so clearly stated in the Bible in relationship to what people will say and what people will do. I'm caused to remember in Psalms 146, I believe it is, where there is a clear statement in relationship to what I have just said. And we need to recognize it. In fact, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in the princes, leaders, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, some have the philosophy and the ideological bent that as Christians, as pastors, as churches, somehow, some way we need to be silent about what's taking place in society. But I want you to understand that it is very, very clear and evident as to what is taking place and how it affects us. One of the writers from the Alliance Defending Freedom made a statement, says, what affects the church affects you all. Since the restrictions due to COVID-19 began, Alliance Defending Freedom has assisted or equipped others to assist thousands of churches and ministries. But some government officials continue to discriminate against churches and threaten the free exercise of religion. That must stop, they write. The more the government interferes with the affairs of the church, the more risk your religious freedoms become. Because what affects the church affects every one of us, end quote. There's no question if churches are treated unfairly by more COVID-19 regulations, it would be a huge burden on all Americans as a result of those restrictions. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just a matter of me trying to say what the government ought to do. It's a matter that the government, when they get involved in what the church does and what we as Christians and conservatives do, we need to recognize the danger of the long knives, as I've called them, not my origination, but others have stated, pulling out the long knives and going after Christians and conservatives and patriots. And that's what we find the Biden administration headed for today. But it's all based on a lie. All that we see, that's the cumulative culmination of where we are today with Joe Biden in the Oval Office, is as a result of a major, could I say it again, major lie. And we have watched that coup being pulled off, and it's ultimately been successful for the left. But we need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, what is truth and what is error? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about backup power. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the staff that can answer your questions about lawn care landscape equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag, U.S. flag, stands, and it flows 24/7. That flag is on a flagpole 165 feet in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, find the U.S. flag flowing at the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the big lie. Perhaps you recall, let's just set the stage for big, and bigger lies. Perhaps you recall the lie of evolution. Most public schools are still teaching that lie. It was never developed anything more than just a theory, the theory of evolution by Darwin. And yet that theory is being taught as fact today. But you recall that was a big lie. We're told by evolution, we're told that God did not create us, but that we evolved from monkeys or apes or some form of blob in the mush from the ocean. Or do you recall another big lie? It was a laughable big lie. Back in the 60s, there was a lie going around that said God is dead. You recall that? That'll tell your age, ladies and gentlemen. God is dead. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, God's not dead. It's God that did create us. And the truth is, God's never been sick. He hadn't even contracted COVID. He's not dead. He's alive. He's still on the throne. But those were two major lies in the past 100 years. It's been perpetrated, major ones that I would call them. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the greatest lie that the world has been faced with is the big lie of the pandemic. Some have called it the plandemic. It's the pandemic. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have all been lied to about the pandemic. We've been lied to, and the sad truth is that most have fully believed and embraced the big lie. The big lie. Now, there are a number of things in the plandemic, in the Chinese Wuhan or the Wuhan China virus, that's been rejected by the politically handicapped in the Beltway in Washington. They get all uptight when you call it the Chinese Wuhan virus or the Wuhan China virus. They get all upset, uptight, because they know the reality of the fact that it is out of Wuhan, China, out of the laboratory there, the virologist laboratory. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's the big lie. The lie first perpetrated upon the world. And as a result of that, nation after nation shutting down the border, shutting down flights and shutting down the interstate travel, shutting down businesses, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that today, ladies and gentlemen, part by part, piece by piece. We're going to take the big lie apart, and then we're going to look at and analyze the reversal of that big lie as the Manchurian candidate, the Trojan horse candidate, Joe Biden, through a coup in America in the election system, has been sworn into office. No, he's not the real president. He is a Trojan horse. He is what some have referred to as the Manchurian candidate, now the Manchurian president. He's the one that's seated in the Oval Office today that's making decisions and directing the United States of America, following that big lie continually, ladies and gentlemen. Lie number one, we're going to look at three or four big lies. We could break them down in about a dozen or so, but I'm going to look at them piece by piece, and then we're going to take them apart, put them back together, and see what the lie has been made of and how it was constructed and what's been believed by Americans. And I say this today, ladies and gentlemen, because perhaps you're listening and you wear a mask. Perhaps you're listening and you've already lined up in your car to get a vaccine. Perhaps you're listening and you're already saying, I need to get my vaccine. I want you to put brakes on that thought and analyze the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental foundation of the lie that's brought it to the point that we're at today in America. I would have never dreamed a year ago, it's been exactly a year ago, I would have never dreamed, ladies and gentlemen, that America would have surrendered our freedoms as quickly, as rapidly, and as haphazardly as we have. I would have never dreamed that you could tell businesses to lock down and they would be forced to do so. I would have never dreamed a year ago that churches would have been forced to be closed by the federal and state governments. I would have never dreamed a year ago that we'd still have thousands of churches today still locked down, still closed, because of the lie and the lies, plural, that we've been fed, and the weak-minded, illiterate, anemic, immature individuals that's believed it and followed it, including believers. Now, I'm not trying to be crude or crass or demeaning or dissing, as the world would call it. but I'm concerned that we've so easily believed the lie. You recall back in Genesis 3, most of you recall that text. First 7, 8, 9 verses, very imperative and important. Satan said, "Yea, hath God said," casting dispersion and doubt to bring about disobedience and ultimate death as a result of it. And we can follow that same chain of thought today, ladies and gentlemen, with the declension based on a lie and what has taken place. We've been lied to, and it's a demonic lie coming through the political leadership in the Beltway of Washington. It's a demonic lie coming out of the blue states with the mayors and the governors with their edicts, the encyclicals, as you would call them, and the executive orders, which, by the way, should be illegal. And I'm prayerful that we can get enough leadership in the House and the Senate in Tallahassee to at least change it for the state of Florida to make it impossible for the future to take place as we've seen in the past. But lie number one was that 2.2 million Americans would die of COVID-19. Do you recall that? Do you recall the white-jacketed Emperor Fauci standing on the platform next to the president? January of last year, and giving the information about the research and what's been shown, that 2.2 million people would die if we did not lock everything down. The lie originated, ladies and gentlemen, from Professor Ferguson. He's a professor, Dr. Ferguson, a professor of the London Institute. But for Professor Ferguson to give that information months later, after it had been seen by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, standing on the platform on one occasion with President Trump, Dr. Birx said that we're going to have to stop looking at data, looking at research, and just go back to the real things that's happening on a day-to-day basis, said that we began to have doubt in the research data. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because Dr. Professor Ferguson, the London Institute, months later, Professor Ferguson admitted that he had used, quote, a bad data set in his computer. And as a result of starting out with the wrong data, or as he called it, the bad data set, his end results were fictitious, phony, fraudulent, and a big lie. He had calculated based on his model that 2.2 million people in America would die. The 2.2 million figure, you recall, was quoted and pushed by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization, and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx both on the payroll of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, of which having control over or influence in the majority of the major developmenting pharmaceutical houses in America and globally. They have been very, very, very benevolent in their gifts financially to these pharmaceutical houses. And listen very carefully, this root ties together. What would Bill Gates of Microsoft formerly, what would Bill Gates have to do with the fact of COVID-19? Why would Bill Gates be up to his ears in the communication and the conversation about COVID-19? Why would Bill Gates have a serious interest in it? We go back and look at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Some of their major interest has been for years and years and years, and may I say again, years, would be in pharmaceutical research and the research and the development of different vaccines. This is the reason, as it stands today, ladies and gentlemen, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation still tied up in world court because of the thousands upon thousands of human beings that they murdered by way of their vaccinations in parts of Africa and in India. And today, those parts of Africa and India will not allow Bill Gates or anything to do with Gates into their nation at all because so many were murdered or so many were sterilized by taking the vaccination that were distributed then. And so many were caused to be paralyzed and major, major physical maladies for the rest of their lives. Bill Gates wants to use that as the, wants to use America and the world with the vaccinations as a test, and part of his global initiative is to reduce the population by about a billion people. He says we have too many people in the world today. So lie number one was that brought major fear, hysteria, and fright on the part of the American people that I'm going to die with COVID-19. Therefore, I must follow what the government says. I must bow. I must bend. I must submit to what the government says to protect my life and the life of my loved ones. That was lie number one, ladies and gentlemen, and it was proven to be a lie. It was proven to be a lie. In fact, President Trump later called Dr. Fauci, I believe he called him an idiot. I don't know what else he may have called him off the camera, but he recognized that it was a deceitful factor that had been brought into the pandemic and plandemic, as many calls it, because we'll see in a moment as I get to the bottom line of these culmination of the lies, the financial interest and the absolute part and parcel Dr. Fauci played in the literal development of COVID pathogen. Yes, I'm giving you a hint. The bottom line we're going to talk about today is that Dr. Anthony Fauci was personally involved in the funding, the financing, and the operation of the development in the laboratory in Wuhan, China, of the COVID-19 pathogen. Yes, he was responsible and is today. I believe we have Bob on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. You know, I always try to picture these people like Fauci wearing a Nazi uniform, you know, how they would look.
That's a good caricature.
Yeah. I just have one question for you today. You were mentioning Bill Gates. I hear that he's buying up a lot of land, farmland. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, sir. He's bought up land all over the nation, just in the state of Georgia and mid and south Georgia. He's bought up about 243,000 acres of land. And the purpose and the plan that he has for that is to develop crops, develop vegetables and products, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, farmland, in order to use his expertise, as he thinks he has, in what is it called, with the hybrid development of crops that has more in it than just the nutrients from the ground. And he has a plan, I believe, on a global basis to bring the nations to its knees with the, it's called modified, genetically modified vegetables and fruits and so forth. And that's his plan for the acreage that he's buying across the nation. Don't know about other nations, but in America, and I do know specifically in the state of Georgia, central and south Georgia, he's bought about 243,000 acres, according to the research that I've done on the subject.
So he wants to have a monopoly on the food?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's his twisted, perverted mind that he can play God and can control the health of people via the Gates Foundation-funded and directed vaccinations, and through the food products that we'll be able to eat. And I'll just touch on this to tie the loose ends together. And what will ultimately be the vaccinations that people are taking today, whether it's Moderna, which is majorly controlled by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or Pfizer, and there's about three or four others that's on the line to come into effect and be utilized. But with these vaccinations, with the RNA, they're actually changing the DNA in the human profile, in the human body, and as a result of that, they are wanting to change the and control the human race. And that's where they're headed today, and that's the reason it is so frightening to know that you have some people behind the scenes, because of their money, are so controllingly powerful over what the world does. And I'm concerned because through the vaccinations, we'll talk about that further today and further in this week, with the vaccinations, it will eliminate hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of human beings because of so many that's dying from taking the vaccination even today.
By the way, did you hear that Hank Aaron, you know, the baseball player, that he took that vaccination 2 days before he died?
I'd not heard that, but it does not surprise me. You won't see CNN, the Communist Network News, giving us the update list of those that died from the vaccination, or those that had prophylactic ill responses from it, or those that were sterilized and won't ever know the reality of that for years and years to come. You won't hear the Communist Network News giving an up-to-date on that each and every hour of the day, but we've had thousands upon thousands already in America. Multitudes have died. Multitudes have been hospitalized. Multitudes are in comatose states today as a result of it, as a result of taking the vaccination. I'm petrified as to where we're going as a nation. But you recall Bill Gates back in September of 2020, in an interview with CNN, admitted with a little smile on his face that we do realize with the vaccinations that we could have between 750,000 and a million people that could die as a result of the vaccination. But then he smiled and said, but what's that to the fact that we could save millions of people around the globe?
Yeah, so he knows what. Didn't he use the phrase "the final solution"?
That was part of the. That was part of another interview where he used that final solution, and that is a term that he's used not just once, but at least three times that I've read behind him on that he's used that term, and it has an ominous connotation as to that because it goes back to the Leninism, Hitlerism connotation of what they had done, the final solution.
All right. Thank you, Pastor.
Brother, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the big lie. And lie number one was that there were going to be 2.2 million people die if we didn't lock down society and do something that was absolutely antithetical to a free enterprise and the system that we've known for all of these years in America. Lie number two, is that the entire nation had to shut down for 15 days. And President Trump was going by the advice of the white coat emperors that were standing beside him, Dr. Fauci being the primary one. And as a result of that, President Trump had made the decision out of consultation with Tedros out of World Health Organization, Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci. He had made the decision that this is based on 2.2 million people going to die. The president made the decision. We've got to do something to somehow, some way limit that and modify that so that all that number will not face death. And so the president announced that we need to shut down for 15 days. Perhaps you remember him. Remember that statement. I watched it on television. He was making that statement. We're going to shut the nation down for 15 days so that we can flatten the curve to slow down COVID spread. Then all could reopen and everything would be all right because we'd flatten the curve. But as you know, ladies and gentlemen, much of America remains closed today. One full year later, including thousands upon thousands of churches that remain closed today. I'm horrified by the fact that we have believed a demonic lie. Lie number one, that 2.2 million people are going to die. Lie number two is that we had to close down, lock down society, lock down the churches, and lock down shut it down in order to preserve life in America. And ladies and gentlemen, as you recognize, it's not stopped COVID. It's not preserved life. It's not slowed COVID down. It's been running just as rampant as the average normal annual flu. But by the way, in 2020, the common flu, decreased by 98.2%. Why is that so? Because nobody had the flu last year. Nobody had the flu. It was simply COVID. Everybody died or got sick with COVID. Here's an article from Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. Using COVID as a fear factor, power-hungry governors have imposed severe lockdowns on everything they deem non-essential. Most governors declared the church non-essential, while abortion clinics, liquor stores, big box centers, and hundreds of other categories were actively being operated and were deemed to be essential. These restrictions are still imposed by mostly Democrat governors. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom continues to criminalize all indoor worship services. Matt Staver goes on to say, and don't think churches can find refuge on the internet. Amazon began purging some Christian books from its platform, and this year it deleted conservative organizations from the internet. How long will it be until big tech decides pastors and churches shouldn't be online at all? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a precarious scenario because of lie number one, the 2.2 million people were going to die. Lie number two, that we had to flatten the curve by shutting down business, shutting down churches, shutting down enterprise across America. But ladies and gentlemen, as we continue the broadcast today, we're going to talk about the other lies that were told and how they cumulatively have come together to bring us to the point that we're at today. And we're going to then talk about Dr. Anthony Fauci being behind the creation of COVID-19, it being released, and then Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates supposedly has all of the answers. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take about 1 minute for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about the big lie.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.